Hello, I'm Lori Hennessy, and I'm the CEO of League of Education Voters. Welcome to Washington Game Changers. In case you're not familiar with us, League of Education Voters is a statewide organization that works with families, educators, and leaders to build a brighter future for every Washington student. We do that through our field work. We do that through our community engagement, research and policy, advocacy, and much more. We build a coalition to make a long and lasting impact. We believe that education is a tool for justice. We believe every child deserves an excellent public education that provides an equal opportunity for success. Word about me, I came to the League about a year ago after a long career in politics, nonprofits, and communications. My passion has always been around kids, particularly those who are not well served by our systems, our government, and our schools. So I want to do what I can to really provide a forum where we can talk about issues that matter to us. We want to talk about the work that's now being done, work in the community, work done with care and passion and bravery. I want to talk to those people and hear their stories and then share those stories with you. Washington Game Changers will look at those who give back to our community and create innovative solutions to our problems. They inspire others and they lead the way in making this state more equitable and just. This podcast, quite simply, is a one-on-one conversation with powerful leaders in a time when we need to hear more about people who are doing good in the world. One of the big issues in the Puget Sound area today is homelessness. People here talk a lot about homelessness. Some people focus on the tents that they see or talk about how downtown Seattle feels to them. Often when I'm in a conversation about homelessness, I talk about Mary's Place. I got involved with Mary's Place, I think about 8 years ago. Mary's Place provides safe, inclusive shelter and services that support women, children, and families on their journey out of homelessness. Mary's Place shows us the stories of women and families who are doing their very best, but sometimes you end up without shelter because of a healthcare crisis, loss of a job, or more. So when we talk about Mary's Place, we talk about Marty Hartman. Marty Hartman came to Mary's Place. Well, she can tell us about, I think, 20 years ago or so, but she'll tell us more. And Marty is the person who leads the way at Mary's Place. And I just want to say also a wonderful person and a friend that I am delighted to welcome to our second episode of this podcast. Welcome, Marty.
Oh, hi, Lori. Thank you for having me on. Thank you to the League. You guys do amazing work in this community and that benefits our children at Mary's Place as well. So thank you for all that you do. And thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. It's so great to see you, even though we're in our little cocoon.
It's better to see each other on Zoom at least, right? We're connected.
Exactly. So Marty, first of all, tell us what led you to this work?
Oh, I think, lots of things, right? Part of my childhood and having to move a lot, and I went to 16 different elementary schools, before fifth grade. So all of that kind of transitioning and leading into probably my upbringing from my mom always wanting to engage us in community work and into giving back. And no matter where we lived, we had to go out and make friends and help each other. And then when I moved to Seattle about 30 years ago, got involved with my church and saw the growing need of women experiencing homelessness in Seattle, and started to volunteer at my church, and then learned from there that there was greater needs and that how could I contribute. And so I got connected to Mary's Place about 20 years ago to really begin to address the need of women outside, and had this dream that we would build a Fred Meyers of sorts for women experiencing homelessness and their children. They were welcome to come at that time. There just weren't very many children out on the street back then, and that they would be able to get all their needs met in one place. Like, the old saying, what's on your list? Let's check it off today and do it here. So that's what we set up. And it's been an amazing journey, meeting so many incredible women and families and children, the most courageous, resilient, brave individuals I have ever met. So yeah, quite the journey.
One of the things that you and I have talked about over the years is this whole idea of misconceptions about those who are homeless. What are some of the things that come to mind when people ask you, what are the misconceptions about homelessness?
Yeah, I think, you know, oftentimes it's people coming and more concerned about the tents in parks, and people camping on sidewalks and in RVs. And we often get to talk about, you know, that families are the fastest growing population of the homeless community, and that really in many of those cars hidden in quiet cul-de-sacs, families in the back of U-Hauls sleeping because it's much cheaper to rent a U-Haul than it is a hotel room, are children. And children are out here at no fault of their own. And they families are working so hard to keep their families together that they're worried their children will be taken from them because they can't provide and they want to provide, you know? And what we get to share is it's just one hiccup in their life, right? Nobody planned to have a divorce. Nobody planned to be beaten and mm-hmm. live in a domestic violence situation. Nobody planned for their child to get sick with liver cancer at 8 years old and give up everything to get their child's miracle. And that included their job and their house. And they ended mm-hmm. up living in the car outside the hospital while their child got treatment. And we see those cases every day. And so that's why we're standing in that gap, because there are families outside that just need this one safety net. And Mary's Place can become that safety net when your family doesn't have extra money or can't afford to have you move in with them, or because you can't be on the lease. That's where Mary's Place comes in. We're just there for that one season that you have become homeless, because for most families, it has been one and done. This is the one season of your life you need some help. And so we want to be there. We want to bring our community to surround you, to lift you up and help mm-hmm. you get back on your path to housing.
So we hear a lot about how homelessness is disproportionately people of color. Has that been your experience over the years? Have you seen that it's not what people imagine?
Oh, very much so. And it's coming to light now. And that's one of the, you know, say maybe the blessings of COVID is that we've seen that disproportionality. Mm-hmm. We've long known that people of color are much more likely to experience homelessness than our white neighbors. you know, it's disproportionate to the makeup in King County. It's disproportionate to the makeup of the nation. And systemic racism is really the driver mm-hmm. of homelessness for Black and Brown people. We know that. We know that poverty alone is not an answer for the high rates of homelessness. We see the inequities. We see it in the education system, as you do. We see mm-hmm. it in the healthcare system. We see it in the systemic oppression that really limits economic mm-hmm. opportunity. And that wealth gap just continues to widen. And then that exacerbates the affordable housing crisis. Mm-hmm. You see it in the practices of redlining. You yeah. see it in maybe the high cost of living, the lack of affordable housing. Mm-hmm. And as a result of all of those practices, almost 80% of the families we serve at Mary's Place are from communities of color.
Wow. You know, we talk a lot about, obviously, about education and how our educational system is not working the same for all kids. And there are so many examples, right? There is early learning where some kids are coming into grade school ready to succeed. There's issues of, we're all looking differently now at everything from special advanced classes to tutors for kids, to the ability for people to go online when their parents are working from home during a global pandemic. Looking at education, I know when I visited Mary's Place in the past, there were so many beautiful examples of tutoring, of like after school homework help. Is that an area that you've seen also in terms of a lack of equity? This kind of those who live in homelessness, they're just falling behind, and that's how Mary's Place helps there too, right?
Absolutely. We know that children experiencing homelessness are about 2 years behind their peers in the same grade. Mm-hmm. And so we work really hard. We may only have you for 90 days in shelter, but we're making sure that you're connected to school, that you're going to school. that you have transportation. We're making sure that during that off time that we're going to do things that hopefully will transform the way you looked at your homeless experience. We want to make sure that you're going on outings, getting connected to community centers, having opportunities for tutoring, coming alongside other peers to understand the homelessness experience and being able to talk about it openly and truthfully. You'll be having science clubs with Fred Hutch. You'll be able to join Scouts. For most of our kids, 95% of them have never done Scouting before. And then they leave Mary's Place and they're leaving with badges and this excitement, and they're getting connected to Scouting troops in their own school. So, and I would say with COVID, you've seen the gap even widen more, right? You know, we serve kids from over 220 different schools, right? And not all of those schools are equally equipped with technology to make sure that their children or their students can have access to technology with remote learning. You know, if Mary's Place and our community wasn't stepping in to provide those laptops, they didn't have Wi-Fi, they wouldn't have the learning. They wouldn't be able to continue. You know, parents in our cars, just think about that. Right now, we're only sheltering 22% of the families that call for shelter.
22%.
22%. The rest are left outside. How do you think they're doing school? I'll tell you. They're driving to the libraries, just hoping to connect to the Wi-Fi signal outside to try to get online because they want their children to have the education that they weren't able to. Yeah. They're doing everything they can to charge their laptops, to find a place to plug in. And when so many places are closed, it is so difficult and challenging to do that. Mm-hmm. It just continues to highlight the disparities that we face and the disparities that we see from those who are housed to those who are not, to those who live in richer, more affluent areas that have access to more technology, more resources, to those who don't. And that disproportionately impacts people of color.
You know, I look at you and I just think about how when I first met you, I think it was Dan McGrady introduced me and I came and toured, and I remember hearing from you then about sort of the hopes and dreams of where Mary's Place could go. And at the time, some people had heard of Mary's Place, but in the last 8 years, the community, you know, from outside watching, the community's embrace of Mary's Place, where when you do the No Child Left Outside campaign and everyone steps up and corporate sponsors, it reminds me of this thing that Dr. Ben talked about with me when I talked to Ben Danielson last week, is this idea of, at first it's uncomfortable when you're someone who wants to do good and you become sort of almost like a Seattle celebrity. Like he said, people all say, Dr. Ben, Dr. Ben. And he keeps wanting to say, focus on the community around me. And he finally said that he came to a place of realizing that that's a gift, that people want to hear about what he's doing because he can steer people towards things that need to be helped. And I think about you and you've become, I mean, not to embarrass you, kind of beloved, but to a lot of people in Seattle. And I always see you saying, look at the families, look at the kids, look at the people who can help. Is that something you found as Mary's Place has grown in awareness? Have you been able to pull in new people in Seattle and to get them to look at those families?
Absolutely. And it's our community that does it, right? I mean, the more people that you can empower and share knowledge and education with, that children are outside, they're sleeping in cars, and it doesn't have to be that way, that there are solutions, people want to get on board, and people share that with their neighbors and they share it with their colleagues. And that's what continues to grow this passion that no child has to sleep outside, because it is possible, it is doable. And I give it all the credit goes to our community that loves their neighbors right here in their hometown. They see them, they hear them, they want to respond. And I feel like it's our duty to share that need so people know how to respond, to make it small enough that you can see your impact. One child in a bed tonight makes a difference for that child and that mom and that dad, right? To bring them inside, to keep them together, to keep them safe and warm, because they know they're on a path to housing. But that does not happen in a silo. That happens with our community coming together to reassure people that they are not alone, that they are loved, that they are wanted, that they are invited in. And that's all we're trying to do here, is to say everyone has the ability to respond to this crisis.
What do you do about those who, it sounds to me as the community has continued to struggle with the crisis or the epidemic around homelessness, and people all react to how they feel about downtown, it feels like the pathway that you're trying to keep on is, let's look at the actual families, let's look at the people. There are stories behind some of those pictures that people see on TV, right?
Yeah, we continue to, you know, it's one family, one child at a time, right? Together, we can do this. And it seems overwhelming for most people when you see so many tents and you think, how are we ever gonna get out of this? But again, it's responding, it's neighbor to neighbor. Relationships are the greatest gift. They always have, they always will be. So how can we help people be part of that response? How can we help you lean in to see your neighbor, to not shy away, to look at them when they're standing on the street corner with their sign, to be able to respond in ways of collecting things that are important, but mostly how do we respond by changing the system? Right? And that belongs to us. We have to begin to look at ourselves in the way that we have really entertained our own privilege, right? Our white privilege, and be able to look at that and transform that and lean into uncomfortable conversations in this community and begin to respond and respect the needs of others of our Black and Brown community. We can do this. It is hard. It is difficult work and it's uncomfortable, but it is good. Work, right? Yeah. And it's work that needs to be done.
What's next for Mary's Place? What do you have planned, and how are you going to be addressing all of these difficult issues in not an easy time?
We're on a path. We've known for a long time that prevention is key, right? Literally key to keeping your own house. But we, you know, have been so focused on the need in front of us, people jumping off the cliff into the river because they have nothing, right? And floating downstream. We have to catch people before that happens. And so we are working on prevention as much as the rest of the nation is on this rental assistance. But what are some of those best practices? And we're piloting those now, keeping families in their homes where they fall through those gaps, where they're not eligible for some of the rental assistance coming available. Mary's Place is there standing in that gap, identifying where they are, helping them stay in their homes. We know the safest place to be in a pandemic is in your home. And we also know that diversion works. That means really getting people that have resources, that have income, that are really camping in their cars because they just need a little bit more, or need to pay down that debt, or need birth certificates. We're there standing beside them and helping them move into housing quickly. You know, last year alone, in the middle of the pandemic, we moved 535 families to more stable housing. It goes to show you it is possible, it can be done, and families are resilient. We will get there. So prevention and diversion, we want to take to scale. We want to take them across the state and share those best practices. And we really want to continue to increase our BIPOC nonprofit relationships and really work together to share information. Mary's Place to be more culturally relevant, right? We need to learn those best practices, but we want to share also the best practices that we have with diversion and prevention, and how can we all work better together to spread this those resources across the state so no child has to sleep outside. And we're still going to work on increasing shelter. We lost 300 beds in this pandemic.
Wow.
For families. And we are determined to make sure we can bring those back. We are frightful about what's going to happen when this eviction moratorium lifts. We know that there will be a flood of families experiencing homelessness. And so we are prepared, right? It'll take shelter if you've lost your home. We'll be diversion if we can get you back in quickly. Mm-hmm. And definitely working to keep you in your home with rental assistance, working together with our community, our city, our county, our state to do this work.
What does it mean for someone who's new to the issue? When you say we've lost 300 beds, what did that mean for you?
Huge. So in this county, in King County, there's about 6 providers that have shelter beds. So probably about a little over 1,100 beds. So if you could imagine losing 300 beds, it's significant, right? Mm-hmm. And so as families are coming in, we have less beds to be able to help them. And there's less resources. Mm-hmm. And people are staying longer in shelter because of the pandemic and because of the economic impacts of the pandemic. And so length of stay has gone from 85 days to 130 days. So the beds aren't turning over as frequently. And so when you have a loss of beds, mm-hmm. beds aren't turning over as quickly. That means kids are outside.
Yeah.
A lot of families are sleeping outside at the end of cul-de-sacs. They're in these tents. They're sleeping on people's porches and people's mm-hmm. cold garages. And we want to meet them where they are and bring them inside. And together we can do that because the majority of them are on a path to housing right when they get in the door. Mm-hmm. You know, Mary's Place has really, we called back all of our families the last 2 years that we placed in housing to get an idea of what they needed. That was 1,100 families.
Yeah.
And over the last 2 years, 93% of them are still in that same housing doing well. The bad news was about 55% of them are behind in their rent. And we know that we can, and it was about an average of $3,000. Yeah. And if you can help with $3,000 to keep them in their home, that's much more effective, less traumatic, much less stressful on that family to keep them there. And so we're on a path to do that. We know that together we are better, and our community wants to do that. They love their neighbors. They just need to know how to respond.
We're in such a wealthy community. I mean, our community is just so... It's interesting to be in this community and see that $3,000 is the difference for a lot of families, right? Absolutely. It's humbling.
It's humbling, but it's doable.
So what does someone do if they want to get involved with Mary's Place? What are some of the things they can do to be part of this work?
We would love to have you come beside us in any way possible. You can get online and check us out at marysplaceseattle.org. You can, we're doing virtual volunteering now, which is amazing.
That's great.
But what a great pivot it's been, right? Because we can still be in-person and virtual when we go. We're doing, things like talk time. So if English is not your first language, you get to practice with somebody online and you get to Zoom with each other, just like we're Zooming, but you get to read books or stories or just talk in conversation. Mm-hmm. We're doing basic computer school skills, resume writing, mm-hmm. science club, scouting, you name it. Everything can go virtual. We've all learned that through COVID, but that's the way that we maintain relationship. And so that's pretty critical and pretty important. So we would love for you to do that. Right now we're collecting Valentine's because it's Valentine's Day. But next it'll be, spring clothes because the warmer weather is coming. We always have needs. We have a wish list that you can go on. But really, I will tell you, it's a relationship and advocacy. You know that there are children outside, that we're only able to offer 22% of families calling shelter tonight. You can part of that solution. And there's so many ways that you can give and help and contribute your time, your treasure, but most importantly, your relationships.
Well, Marty, you have always been someone who's reminded me of a quote from my favorite movie, which is It's a Wonderful Life. And there's a quote in that movie where it says, "All that you take with you is that which you give away." And I just wanted to say thank you, because to me, you're someone who's always reminded me of that quote of spending a life helping others. So, thank you from the community for doing that.
Oh, right back at you. Thank you for giving to us and to Mary's Place in this community. You have built your life of service as well. And, it takes all of us. We're all here together. And that's what makes it so possible and doable to love one another and to love each other more.
Well, thanks again. Thanks for talking to me in our cocoon.
Much love to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity today. No challenge outside. Let's do it.
Thanks, Marty. It's great to see you. So thank you to each of you for joining us today. If you have additional questions or comments, you can send them to me at lauri@educationvoters.org. It's spelled very strangely, L-A-U-R-I, lauri@educationvoters.org. A recording of this presentation will be on our website, educationvoters.org. You can find me on LinkedIn or Twitter, or you can find our organization there. And again, I just want to say thanks to my friend, Marty Hartman, and thank you to everyone at Mary's Place who's making a difference every day. Thanks, Marty.
Thanks, Laurie.